This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning, a Columbus Day Monday morning, and a jam-packed sports weekend that's going to produce a jam-packed Monday morning, Boomer and Gio, for you. We've got Yankee tickets to give away this morning. Game 4 tickets to give to you a little bit later in the show. Giants Turning Point tickets for Giants-Eagle tickets on Thursday night. Of course, the Giants, the big story yesterday in the NFL. The Jets played great. We'll talk about the Jets. That was awesome. Their offense, their defense. Real big win for Todd Bowles, Sam Darnold, the whole group. But unfortunately, the New York Giants are going to steal the headlines because, once again, it's on the field and off the field. Plenty of Yankees today as we get you ready for Game 3 of Valdi and Severino at the stadium. It's going to be a good one today, Boomer. Good morning. How are you?
All right. I'm good. I'm fine. And I would just say that the Yankees should be going for a sweep tonight. That's all I can say.
I know, right?
I mean, they are clearly the better team. They look to be the better team. I did my WEEI hit already this morning up there in Boston. They think the series is over.
For who?
For the Red Sox.
They think really? The series is over.
They're negative on the Red Sox right now.
Well, sucks, man.
That's what I'm saying. And when you take a look at that Yankee lineup from top to bottom, and you know, with Hicks getting hurt and be able to put Gardner in there, and then Gardner having the performance that he had in Game 2 and all that other stuff, I know Yankee fans wanted to kill Stanton. They wanted to go after Andujar and Torres after Game 1 and all that stuff. Those other two guys are rookies, man. Give them a chance. Let them get the flavor of all this. They'll be fine. They're going to be fine.
But they're counted on, though. I mean, that's the thing.
But Stanton's really counted on. Seventh inning, bases loaded, no outs. Come on, you got to come through. And that's why, I'll tell you what, nobody was happier than him and probably Brian Cashman to see Gary Sanchez do what he did. Now, the interesting thing, I will say, and I don't know if they've announced it yet. You know, I was so all enthralled in football yesterday and you know, the whole thing, right? What do they do with the lineup now? Do you keep Gary Sanchez up there and then move everybody else down? That would be interesting to see what happens with Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, decide.
The reason he was hitting so high in the order on Saturday night was because of his success against David Price.
Hicks was out of the lineup,
right,
and Gardner was in the lineup.
Right.
So I understand that. So it would be interesting to see what happens. They got Nathan Eovaldi tonight. You got Severino going.
Tough against them,
well,
man.
Unless you got Severino going tonight, good luck. Nathan Eovaldi hasn't seen this lineup. Good luck.
Yeah, but
the
Yankees have struggled against him, which worries
good
me.
Luck.
I know what you're saying, but I mean, so Eovaldi and Porcello have had way too much success against the Yankees. They have. And those two guys, they're going to have to figure that out. So, I mean, I can't just dismiss that because of the line.
I know Sale had good numbers and Cora couldn't wait to get him out of there after, you know, they get two guys on. But, you know, he only lasted five innings. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this Yankee lineup's going to be fine. They are. You could see on the field. You could watch it. You could feel it. You know they're the better team. So good luck to the Red Sox trying to deal with this lineup. And it looks like Hicks will be back in it in some way, shape, or form. I don't know where he'll be, but Gary Sanchez basically has paid dividends for the decision that Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone have made here to keep him in there, that he is their catcher for the playoffs. And if you continue to do what he did and have a spectacular game like he did in Game 2, hey, good for them. And it just makes it all the more difficult to pitch against that lineup when you now all of a sudden have Gary Sanchez hitting home runs. So,
yeah, I mean, I was wrong about him. I will admit
I mean, a lot of people are upset with his season.
Well,
the
loafing,
the pass balls,
right.
The injuries and everything else. And we all said the same thing. Everybody on this radio station, everybody on the other radio station, everybody said the same thing. It's a new season. It's a new start. And he is one that, at least right now, for the most part, is taking the most advantage of that. So good for him and good for the Yankees. Now, as far as the Giants are concerned, I went back and I looked at Christian McCaffrey's 3rd-and-1 run. I looked at it. Now, I can't do what they do in the NFL office. I can't parse pieces of video together to get a view of what whether or not it's a first down or not. You've heard that. How many times have we heard that now?
Yes, a million times. Yeah.
Right? So I'm saying that if the difference is if the Browns were the team that were on offense, they would have stopped the game, looked at it, and given the ball back to the Giants. Or would have said 4th-and-1 as opposed to a first down and allowing Cam Newton to spike it. Right. So I looked at this thing as much as I could this morning. I looked at it 20 different times. At CBS, it was the Fox feed. So I was trying to find anywhere that, Christian McCaffrey touched the line to gain or crossed the line to gain. I never saw it.
Yeah, I mean,
I could never see a first down where the ball had actually broken the plane of the first down line again. I couldn't tell.
I mean, it's so unbelievably close, and this is why that needed to be reviewed
yes.
right there. But one thing I will say about how that played out. Now, I know that it gave them the opportunity to stop the clock and spike it, but
you
got to remember, there was one more play after that. It was an incomplete pass.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And then they kicked the field goal from the same exact spot.
I understand
that. So
it's
not as if the Carolina Panthers had gained extra yards after that. The guy still kicked a 63-yard field goal from that point.
He would have kicked it from there on 4th down,
right.
is what you're saying.
Yes.
I understand that. But I'm just like, the thing that bothers me the most is that how arbitrarily the NFL can stop games
yeah.
in situations just like that, and they didn't do it.
Right, should have been reviewed, yes.
Right.
I mean, now the Giants have bigger problems than that. I mean, much bigger problems. And the fact that, I mean, we sat here and said, boy, I wonder when it's coming. The Odell Beckham Jr. bubbling up. When is that going to erupt? And it did in the biggest way. On Friday, you heard a little bit of it as it started to leak out. And then, of course, Sunday, the big conversation with him, Josina Anderson, and Lil Wayne, who's sitting there for God knows what reason
well,
is sitting next to him.
I guess he and Lil Wayne are buddies. And
okay,
Lil Wayne,
your playing career, you bring your buddy to every interview?
No. It'd be like me bringing Mark Roberge to an interview. I'm like, what is he doing here? Right? He and OAR are dropping a new, single or whatever. So, but Lil Wayne is, as I found out yesterday, is dropping some new, album or something. So
great.
He's sitting there trying to get the extra publicity. But I don't necessarily know that. It looks like the dumbest thing that I have ever seen.
Yes.
The fact that Odell Beckham Jr. is sitting there trying to explain what's going on, and then his hype man, Lil Wayne, is like, hey, you tell him. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, this looks like the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
And
middle of a football season
right.
where your team is really struggling, you decide to sit down with Lil Wayne talking about your team and as if you are some sort of freaking leader of your team. Or, you could say whatever you want after the game. I know there are a couple players that really appreciated, Odell getting up in front of the team. But I can tell you, his coach is pissed off. His owner is pissed off. His general manager is pissed off. His quarterback is pissed off. And I'm sure all of his offensive linemen are pissed off. And I'm sure there are a lot of other guys in that locker room just rolling their eyes over the stupidity of all of this.
And think about the Giants, who dealt with all his nonsense, gave him the benefit of the doubt. He
and
showed
still
up
gave him
after,
the money.
Right. After an injury, he came back, he towed the company line, whatever, and then gave him all that money. And this guy still has the audacity to go on national television and do that. And by the way, it really did make it worse that Lil Wayne was there, because you knew that Odell Beckham Jr. had talked to Lil Wayne about this stuff, and I think he might even talk to Josina Anderson about this stuff. So when she asked the questions, do you have an issue with the quarterback? Lil Wayne, leans back in a chair.
Oh, man.
Because he knows, here we go. He's going to say something. And then, are you truly happy in New York? And then they're both, laughing. And he says, that's a tough question. They just gave you you are set for life because John Mara and the New York Giants paid your ass. And you're telling me you're not happy in New York because it's not sunny enough?
Paid your ass.
Give me a break.
I'll tell you what, man. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's all I can tell you. This is the audacity of it. The the feel of it. And then to tell you just how crazy he is after the fact, after Pat Shurmur has an issue with it and sits down with Odell, and then Odell asks Pat Shurmur if he could speak to the team so he can be open and honest with the team. They come after that and say that now the team is galvanized because of this.
And he said he didn't regret anything he said.
He goes, I don't regret anything I said.
And he said, if it takes something like this for us to play like that, then I do it every time. Okay, great.
Well, like what? Like mishandle a punt?
Right, I know.
You know, and just because you throw a touchdown pass, like, you know, it's everything's okay. How about dropping a fourth down pass?
Yeah, how about that?
How about dropping a pass in Green Bay last, you know, 2 years ago? How about, you know, taking the fellas on a boat ride before a playoff week? How about all of that crap? How about hanging out with a French model and all the negative stuff that came along with that? I mean, this is so idiotic and so stupid and so...
Selfish.
Just a self-unawareness is what it is.
Well, he thinks he's doing the right thing, man. It's crazy.
I don't know who the hell is in this guy's ear telling him, look, we get paid to give opinions about teams, about coaches, about players and how they're playing and all this other stuff. That's what we get paid to do. He gets paid to play football and I guess be some sort of celebrity away from the field for Nike and all this other crap. But at the end of the day, he himself is a part of an organization and a team where everybody's got to stick together. You can't separate yourself. You can't talk about how you're trying really hard, but there's no heart in the team. Is it the quarterback's role? Well, I don't know. You can't say that crap if you are a leader. You just cannot do it.
All the equity that he built up by being the good teammate during training camp, during the preseason, during the beginning part of the season, all that got washed away yesterday. Every single ounce of it.
I sat here for the entire summer saying that, look, if you're not going to, you have to sign him. In other words, you have to pay the guy. You have to keep him on the field. He makes Eli better. He takes a lot of the pressure off of Eli. You know, I couldn't have been a bigger advocate for him to get paid and for him to stay here because of his popularity with the young Giant fans. Everybody wants the 13 jersey. And yeah, I know he's a little off kilter. I get it. There's something missing there mentally. And I get all that. But you're just going to have to deal with it. But you're going to get the most out of him. Because the one thing I will never question about him is his effort on the field. I'll never question that. But this stuff off the field and this idiotic thought process that in some way, somehow, he is the leader of the Giants, and this propelled them to their performance yesterday. You know what propelled them to their performance yesterday, at least the good parts of it, was the embarrassment of the previous game. Mm-hmm. You know, and coming off of that and having to deal with listening and reading and answering questions about the embarrassing play that the team has not lived up to because they haven't lived up to the expectations. And nobody feels that more than Pat Shurmur. Nobody. And then watching him yesterday after the game have to, in some way, shape, or form, react to this, you could see how
you could see it and hear it. Yeah,
good for him. You know, I'm like, good. I want to see that. Finally,
you saw something out of Pat Shurmur with that, because of all the things that Odell Beckham Jr. has done, this is the one where there could be guys in the locker room that start to turn on him. Like the stuff, the celebrations in the end zone. Remember, we had Avery Williamson in here, and he was laughing about the Crowell thing. Like, it's different for them. They don't really care about that stuff. The thing that was going on in the offseason in Paris, they're like, listen, it's Odell. He's going to do what he's going to do. This right here is the thing that's going to get his teammates to start to turn on him. When you go publicly and essentially talk about how the team has no heart. He said that the team has no heart on national TV and then said that, you know, Eli can't do this, Eli can't do that. Yeah, we sit here and we say how Eli leaves something to be desired when he goes out there. Odell Beckham Jr. can't go on ESPN and talk about Eli like that. And when he goes, well, you know, Eli's not going to go outside the pocket. And then Little Wayne goes, no. I'm like, is this happening?
Yeah,
when
it's happening. It's actually happening.
Is this a skit? Or am I actually watching this? I mean, I thought they'd like pull the cover back and like Eli would come out and they'd laugh about it. It was that unbelievable what I was watching.
SNL doesn't do a skit on that on Saturday Night Live, I don't know. I mean, that was perfect for it.
Fire the writers.
I don't, when you sit there and you look at it, it is almost like it is so stupid to even take it seriously. And then they have to have your quarterback, who, by the way, Odell, has won two Super Bowl MVPs, you know, and doesn't drop passes, you know, in playoff games like you did. And to have your head coach who's been here all but 6 months have to deal with this crap, have the owner now saying, I can't believe I just gave this guy all this money, and this guy is doing this to our team.
He fooled me.
And then after all of that, coming back and saying, you know what? This galvanized the team.
Yeah, it was all me.
I mean,
it was all me that did it.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Greg. I really don't. I mean, it's like those guys are pissed, and all you have to do is just look at Pat Shurmur's response.
Oh, yeah.
And Odell can sit here and say that it galvanized the team. When I see what Pat Shurmur said right after the game, that tells me that there's nothing galvanized.
No,
not at all. Like his fellas, the fellas that he hangs out with on the team and that the other younger players on the team probably find this to be, you know, funny or it's great, but it's, and they'll all say, wow, that's just Odell being Odell. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of like guys just being able to do what they want to do because of who they are.
Right.
How many times have we, that's just Dennis Rodman being Dennis Rodman.
Yeah,
Charles Barkley being right. Charles Barkley. Now, this is just Odell being Odell. No.
This crossed the line to me. I mean, Odell screaming on the sideline, okay, that's a different story. This, to me, this is a calculated sit-down interview where his sole purpose was to talk about how it's everybody else's fault that the Giants are where they are. And he's not putting up the numbers that he needs to put up. And he looks around the league and he's, quote, heated when he sees all these other offenses do what they're doing. And when other receivers don't get the type of run that he gets, they talk about it. So he has to talk about it. This was basically like a don't blame me tour. This is what that was from Odell Beckham Jr. Look at all the other reasons why we stink. Not me. And I'm going to tell you about it with Lil Wayne sitting to my left.
All right. So we have the idiocy of that and having to deal with that for the Giants. And then on the other side of the river, the other side of the turnpike or whatever you want to call it, the Garden State Parkway, I would say, you have the Jets, right? So the Jets are without their defense coordinator, Casey Rogers, who's dealing with some significant health issue. I don't know what it is. They will not announce it. But he was not there with the team yesterday and probably won't be there for quite some time. I was wondering what we would get out of the Jets, especially after their poor performance the week before in Jacksonville. And I think what we saw yesterday from the bad news of the Giants and the idiocy of Odell Beckham Jr. to the unbelievable performance by the New York Jets. And I know Isaiah Crowell had, ran for the most yards in Jet history in a game. I know they ran for over 300 yards on the ground. I know that Sam Darnold threw for 3 touchdowns. What I saw yesterday was an incredibly spirited effort by the New York Jet defense.
Yeah.
I saw them flying all over the place. I haven't seen them play that way. And they didn't do it in Detroit like that because it was more special teams and Matthew Stafford was throwing interceptions. Yesterday, they were all over Case Keenum. They were all over him. And they were aggressive. And it seemed like they were sending a message to their defensive coordinator that we're with you, that we're going to play inspired football for you. And it really, truly was a great overall performance. And Sam didn't have to be great, right? That's Josh Rosen didn't have to be great yesterday. Josh Allen didn't have to be great yesterday. And neither did Baker Mayfield. But Baker Mayfield made some plays late in the game, especially in overtime to win the game. But all four of those rookie quarterbacks won because of what the other parts of their team did to support them. And I thought the Jets' defensive performance yesterday really said volumes about what they think of their defensive coordinator. And I also think, and they know it, that Todd Bowles is under fire. So they needed to have a performance like that at home. So you go from the idiocy of Odell to a very, very spirited performance by the Jets, which was absolutely terrific.
Yeah, got off to a bad start with the Jets, too, and you're thinking, oh, no, this is going to be another one of these Todd Bowles Monday mornings. But no, they turned it completely around, and it was a huge win for them. And something else I liked, and you're right about the defense, something else I liked is getting the ball down the field, being aggressive, and hitting those big plays to Robbie Anderson. I mean, if that's a connection that can continue and be consistent, it just adds such an element to defending this Jets offense that teams are going to have to deal with. And we haven't seen that since week one against the Detroit Lions. And it was back yesterday in a big way. And that second touchdown pass to Robbie Anderson was as good of a throw as you're going to see in the NFL. I mean, that was just absolutely perfect. So it was good to see them get back on track with big plays on the ground and through the air.
So what I saw yesterday from Sam Darnold, he didn't have to throw 50 passes. I saw him calm down yesterday. And one of the reasons he was able to calm down is because they were running the ball right at Von Miller. They were just running. So we're running you over, man. You want to get pass rush and you want to get sacks because that's how you get paid. Guess what? We're going to come running right at you. And both Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell ran really, really hard yesterday. And it was like a really physical game. I give the offensive line the game ball because you had a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, who threw three touchdown passes. You ran for over 300 yards on the ground. You played against two outstanding pass rushers in Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. And you basically, they never, ever had a hand in the game. They never even changed the game. They were not the game wreckers that they're supposed to be. The game wreckers, you know, for the other side were the running backs and the offensive line of the Jets. And then, of course, Sam calmed down a little bit yesterday. And then you saw the ability. You saw the accuracy. You saw him drop in some really nice throws along the left sideline there. So that's great. I feel like, okay, so now the roller coaster's on its way up now for the young quarterback, and hopefully he'll be able to answer it again next week. And now, by the way, the Giants don't have much time because they got to play Thursday night
against a team in Philadelphia that's got their own struggles.
Now,
so.
Depending what happens tonight with the Redskins and the New Orleans Saints, the Giants are not out of this.
I know, the division's
by any
awful.
Stretch of,
right.
And
but the Giants are so bad.
It's not
bad.
That they're awful. It's just that the Cowboys lost yesterday. The Giants lost yesterday.
Division stinks right now.
And the Eagles lost yesterday. So for the Redskins, I'm sure that Jay Gruden will be telling his team, look, guys, we got a major opportunity right here. All three of these teams lost this week. Let's go out and get a win, and let's get the 3-1. But if they lose, look, the Giants are right there. They are right there, and it may be a 9-7 that ends up winning this division.
It may be 8-8 at this rate.
You never know. So that's why it's not time to be jumping ship if you are a New York Giant player. Now, if you want to go over there and smack Odell Beckham Jr. around a little bit, that might be helpful. That may galvanize the team. You know what I would do? I would tape him to the uprights.
Oh, would you?
I would get a bunch of offensive linemen and defensive linemen, take them out there and tape them to the uprights and say, can you just please shut up and let us play football,
or
please
wrap them up in tinfoil like you did with Mark Chernoff.
Whatever.
One of those
two. I mean, make a statement. You got to do something. You got to be like, this guy is off the reservation. He is doing whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it and saying whatever he wants to say. Just be more like Aaron Judge and just be a quiet leader and go about your business and play New York, New York when you're walking past
the
Red Sox fans.
That
guy is a hero in the eyes of Yankee fans.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.